Welcome to another episode of Crossing Soccer Borders, a podcast focused on the growth of CONCACAF soccer and part of the DynamoTheory.com podcast network. I am Rudy.
And I am Rodrigo.
And today we have so much soccer to talk about because we are so close to seeing another go-ahead of the CONCACAF qualifier for the World Cup. Rodrigo, how you been, man?
I've been good, man. It's been a week since we last talked. Kind of a chill week. My wife's been studying for her exam, so I've just been hanging out on the house with the dogs. What about you, man?
I just like how you're just going to go past that whole naked lady thing. But anyways, going past it. Dude, we've been doing good. It's kind of chilly over here. I'm sure it's chilly in Dallas right now. What's the weather like? 50, 45, something like that?
It was pretty good. I think right now it just got a little bit lower to like in the 50, 60 range. But it's been like cool 70. We had a little bit of rain, but yeah, it's been good.
It got chilly a little bit last week. It's still kind of like below 70s lately in the mornings, but the great thing about moving, or the bad thing about moving, all my like winter clothes is in storage. So I literally have like no jackets or nothing other than like a work one. But yeah, it kind of sucks because, you know, everything is in storage. But man, super excited. Obviously, we're trying to keep this a weekly thing. There's a bunch of games coming up. Like I mentioned, there's games on Friday, games on Tuesday for the World Cup qualifiers. So a lot of very important 6 points for a ton of the teams. Of course, the ones on the bottom of the table are hoping to scratch some points out of these two matches and maybe get themselves in a better position than when they started. Anyways, I'm still thinking about the whole window thing, man. But anyways.
All right, just tell people what happened.
Yeah, so, I have to say it. So, Rodrigo was telling me that when he moved in, you're on the third floor, right?
Third floor, yeah.
So, Rodrigo's on the third floor, and he said that when he moved in, like, him and his wife noticed, like, that someone looked naked from afar, like, at a different apartment, and they're just kind of like, nah, it can't be. But sure enough, there's, like, a pretty hefty lady that walks around naked, which looks like to be their kitchen. And so me and Rodrigo were talking before we started recording, and Rodrigo's like, oh my god, there she is. And sure enough, the lady is very comfortable just to be out there showing whatever the heck she's showing. But man, that's hilarious.
I don't know, she cooks, she does everything. It's pretty awkward. I was actually in the balcony just relaxing there and had to come in because it's too distracting, let's just say that.
Dude, you know, it reminds me whenever we went to Miami, when we were kids, and we, like, literally all the people that you saw like half naked were like the ones that shouldn't be half naked, you remember? It's like
exactly. I mean, but for those BBW lovers,
big Mexican woman. Big Mexican women. Oh my god.
That's a different one.
That's the BMWs. Hey, don't you have a BMW? That's too funny. But all right, we'll keep it a little.
So you got a system now.
It's out, man. I promise. Never again, dude. Okay. So we'll go through the table real quick. So Mexico is in first place with 14 points. The US is second with 11. Canada in third with 10 points, Panama with eighth in fourth place, Costa Rica sitting in fifth place with 6, Jamaica with 5 in sixth place, El Salvador in seventh place with 5 points, and Honduras with 3 points sits last of the table. And I was talking to Luis Toñito, however you want to call him, and I was like, dude, I mean, El Salvador has a chance, you know, if they're able to win a couple more games at home and stop dropping points, you know, at home. And they have very important match against Jamaica tomorrow. So anyways, we can start with touching base just a little bit on what Friday looks like, because we may be able to record before the Tuesday games. But again, I have the wrong one. It'd be match day 7 being played Friday November 12th. You have Honduras playing Panama. Very important game for Honduras playing at home. They basically have a new coach now since they fired their coach. And, man, it's going to be very important for them to come out with points, right? I think it's one of those matches that, you know, when you're at home, like we keep mentioning it, like you cannot find yourself losing points at home. And then don't want to touch too much on it unless, Rodrigo, you want to add anything on it. But I can keep going down the list quickly because I think the clash of Titans or Giants is, you know, the one that I think maybe we should focus on. But, yeah, anything on what do you think of Honduras-Panama?
You know, Honduras is trying to keep alive at this point. They would have to win, I think, every single game they want to make qualify, which, you know, seems kind of unlikely at this point. So it's just going to be another year. Maybe they get to miss out on the World Cup. And, you know, Panama's been playing really well, so it'll be hard for them.
Yeah, and of course, the coach that they end up picking up, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Hernan Dario. I believe his nickname is El Bolillo Gomez. He was the one that actually helped Panama make it to their first World Cup ever in 2018. So, I mean, the guy, he is a good coach overall. He's been throughout a few of those Central American and South American teams. And, you know, the guy's made a name for himself as a national team coach, as he shows most often than club soccer. But again, Panama is going to be not an easy task at all. Panama has been playing well, but I think Honduras needs to come out fresh. They should have everybody pretty much healthy, being, you know, Romel Kioto, Albert Tellis, Choco Lozano. So they have a lot of great players. But moving on to the match in Estadio Cuscutlán. I always want to mispronounce that really bad. But playing in San Salvador, the Salvadoran team will be facing Jamaica. El Salvador, man, again, when talking about them, you know, they're a whole new generation with a lot of young players that play for or in the MLS or, you know, have different ties, whether it be to the United States or Canada. But they, Hugo Perez has done a great job of bringing them along and calling them up. I'm excited. Apart from, we know, Darwin Seren is a part of the being a part of the Houston Dynamo, but I'm excited because in this call-up, I believe the young guy from Dynamo as well, his name is Danny Rios. Looks like he's been called up, and it'd be great to see him continue to show and eventually make it into the first team with Houston. But Rodrigo, anything you want to add with that El Salvador-Jamaica match?
Yeah, for me, El Salvador, honestly, when this all started, they seemed like pretty promising, but then how the games have led on. I mean, they've only scored 2 goals throughout the whole tournament so far, and you know it's kind of hard for them. Jamaica looks like they're getting a little bit stronger. I think most of their players that are from the Premier League seem like they're starting to get the rhythm together. So I don't know. I honestly think Jamaica would be the stronger team in this one.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think Jamaica's getting hot. After starting out kind of rough, they were able to get themselves some points out of the last 3 matches. When in the first 3, they actually lost, or sorry, they only got 1 point out of it. So yeah, this is not going to be an easy match at all for Salvador, but I feel like all those matchups are just difficult matchups altogether. Moving along to a game that's going to be played in Commonwealth Stadium in Edmonton, Canada. You have Canada playing Costa Rica. I believe Canada should take full advantage of being at home. I think this is the matchup that they start separating a little bit from the lower part of the table. And obviously Canada stacked with a bunch of players. Obviously you have Alfonso Davies, that which I think they're calling this his homecoming just because he is from Edmonton. So I'm sure the crowd would be extremely excited to have a top-notch player like Alfonso Davies playing at home. You know, obviously we've talked about Jonathan David, Tejan Buchanan, Mark Anthony Kay. There's so many good players that Canada has. They just continue to get better, it seems like, every game. But Costa Rica, again, not an easy task. Of course, the Ticos are going to definitely give them a run for their money. But Rodrigo, what are your thoughts on that, man?
Yeah, man, Canada, been showing what we expected from them. Jonathan David, you know, playing in league on he's been, you know, on fire. I think he's gotten being part of the team of the week, you know, top players recently. I think he has like 8 goals or something like that in the league. And he's, you know, just a great player all around. And then you add Alphonso Davies, which with Canada, he's more like a midfielder wing forward than a defender. So, you know, that adds more to their attack. So they've been dominating. Costa Rica, on the other hand, have been, you know, having a little bit of struggle. Navas have been a big part of the reason, you know, they've been either keeping the games close, because I know he had a bunch of good saves recently. So it's going to be an interesting match. But, you know, Canada to me seems like the stronger team to be making it to the World Cup.
Yeah, I think Canada should be the stronger team and they should get all 3 points. Going back real quick to the Honduras-Panama, I believe that's going to probably be a Honduras win. And El Salvador-Jamaica, I'm pushing closer to what a tie, just because it seems, again, El Salvador keeps dropping points at home. But with that, I think we go to the biggest match there is, right, in CONCACAF soccer. And that's the two giants, the two titans, however you want to call them, the United States playing Mexico. Interesting that they're playing in Cincinnati. I mean, it's a beautiful looking stadium, that TKL stadium for Cincinnati FC that they'll be playing on. And I'm sure we're going to have a great showing. I'm super excited to watch that match. I think I had mentioned in the past episode how the Dynamo Pat Onstad, the general manager, was going to have like a Q&A at Pitch 25, which is a local bar here in Houston. Again, the only reason I said that is because Rodriguez is in Dallas right now, but and we have listeners kind of all over. But it's Brian Ching's, one of Brian Ching's restaurants / bars. And it'd be kind of cool. I'm hoping I can try to make it. It'd be right after work. But the idea was that they'll have the Q&A, and then bam, you have the U.S. playing Mexico, which, I mean, there's, again, no better match to watch. So with that, well, great expectation, I think, for both of the teams, right? I think looking at the U.S. squad, it looks like they have pretty much everybody healthy that you want to have. Yes, there's a few. I think we're going through the roster right before right before we started talking, and it looks like Serginho Dest is out, and John Brooks is out. And those are probably the bigger names, I would say, out of the people that are going to miss this matchup. You know, so defense is very good. But you do have Walker Zimmerman as well that can take over. And to me, that guy's great. And to quote him, I was reading earlier that he had a quote that said, you know, this matchup will show who is the best in CONCACAF. And I think I agree 110% with this kid, because even though the U.S. had beat Mexico, you know, in the Nations League and then in the Gold Cup, this is World Cup qualifiers. I think it makes a big deal, you know, showing who is the real powerhouse, because whenever you're in a qualifier, you have the best of the best. Like, there's no excuse to say this is A team, B team, C team. Like, this is your, you know, A team versus A team. So whoever wins this match is going to show a lot for the States. But Rodrigo, man, how you are, I mean, I'm hope you're excited to watch this match again, trying to catch this U.S. versus Mexico. But what are you feeling so far, man, on this match?
Oh, yeah, definitely excited. I was actually trying to see if I could invite some people over to watch it here, but I don't know if that's going to happen. So I'll probably just watch it alone, you know, with my dogs.
Just watch it. Do you guys have like a community center thing? Just put it there, man. And just like it. So people
they close
just
early. So I think they close at 9, and I think the game starts
at 8, I think. So. Yeah, you're right.
So it's going to be kind of tough, but yeah, no, I mean, I'm sure I'll enjoy it here. I mean, I hope it's not going to be the classic 2-0, you know, U.S. always trying to.
Hey, well, lately it's been 1-0. And, I mean, they've gotten the best of Mexico that way, it seems like.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I mean, it's like you said, there's two big teams with their A teams. You know, no more excuses of like – or – not just excuses, but the importance of like, I'm just going to take this team or take that team. Both of them seem that everybody is pretty healthy. When you talk about Serginho Dest, I don't know. I'm not 100% sold on this guy. I think now that Xavi's going to be the new head coach for Barcelona, I think we're going to see him have less playing time. Because I don't know, I've watched him play a couple of times. He does okay, but I don't think he's there yet. For the U.S., you know, maybe that's the case, but I don't know. That's just my opinion. But on the Mexico side, you know, Mexico, Chucky Lozano has been playing great. I think we might get to see Raul Jimenez back, you know, and everybody else has been playing pretty well. So, yeah, it's going to be a good match.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. Again, I think like the U.S., to me, in my opinion, probably I would play Brendan Aaronson over Christian Pulisic. Of course, Christian Pulisic is going to start. But it seems like every match that, you know, he gets subbed out, like Pulisic gets subbed out for Aaronson, Aaronson is just on a different level. I think he just kind of has way more confidence. And we all know that Pulisic seems to always be hurt. So it takes him a while to get warmed up. You want to add something?
I don't know if that's necessarily it. Like, I feel, especially like the last time, you know, when they played Mexico or other teams, I feel like the U.S. treats them as like they're messy. Like, give him the ball and he'll try to create something. But when you take him away, I think the U.S. just shuts down. I think what we saw in the Leagues Cup game when he basically got shut down and I ended up just going to the PK later on, I mean, that was just kind of, you know, I feel like it's one of those things that if you shut him down, the U.S. doesn't do much. Other games that I've noticed when they've had taken him out, you know, the U.S. starts to play better. So I feel it's kind of one of those things like they kind of give him too much. And he doesn't do as much,
you know,
I guess what they expect.
But I think one of the big things that, you know, even in the, when we had like the Nations League and the CONCACAF, like even whatever team the U.S. had, we kind of challenged it as like, are they really good? I don't think they're going to win. But so far we have to admit they have proved us wrong. You know, like they've gone that far and beat Mexico, no matter what team they were fielding. You know, in my observation, I feel like Pulisic, you're right. I feel like they're trying to make him the lead. They're trying to make him, you know, who the ball goes through. But half of the time, the guy disappears. Sadly, he's shown up at, you know, opportunistic times, you know, winning that PK that you mentioned and scoring that PK in the Nations League and stuff like that. But this matchup, I mean, overall, if you really sit there and see the big picture between those two squads, I think the U.S. has the upper hand, right? Especially being at home, having that, you know, home field advantage. I'm sure the stadium's going to be full, you know, and it's going to be one of those, you know, 99% American fans and what is it, the American Outlaws fans and all that stuff going on. So the home advantage is going to be there for the U.S. for sure. And just to finish, I mean, before you continue on, I just mentioned the fact that, you know, like the team itself, it's in a better shape, right? Because you do have, you can show that you beat Mexico two times in a row within what, a month span, you know? So anyways, whatever you want to add, man, go for it. Still got a little bit of time.
I was just going to say, like, I'm not trying to be biased against Mexico. I was just saying that obviously Mexico has a lot to show because they've lost to the U.S. twice already. If Mexico does happen to win, it's going to be more like an upset. You know, it's not like Mexico should be the favorite just because the U.S. has been playing better and they're playing at home. So, yeah, I mean, do I want Mexico to win? Yeah, of course. But is it going to be possible? I mean, it could be. But I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. I mean,
that's the exciting thing about this game. You know, it could go either way, and then it gives a little bit more fire to the fans and everybody, the team for the next round.
Yeah, and I mean, it's one of those that you're absolutely right. I mean, I think the underdog in this match is really Mexico, and it should be, you know, the upset it'd be for Mexico to get those 3 points, the full 3 points. To me, I'd be happy with a tie because I think that just kind of continues the like you said, the rivalry going, kind of like the fire still lit if you're able to get a tie in the U.S. Yeah. The first go around. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just looking at the stats of like basically the last decade. So between the two teams, they've drawn 4 times and then the U.S. has actually won 6 times and Mexico has only won 5 times.
Yeah,
so, I mean, it's pretty close. And, you know, it's obviously we know that these games are always close. We've never seen a a real blowout from any of the two teams, really. But yeah.
Yeah, and you're right, because even like a conversation they have with Finister from the Houston Dynapod, he mentioned like if you really look at the matchup, you know, a lot of people think Mexico beats the U.S. all the time, but it's not. It's actually much closer. And it's true. I mean, this matchup is, again, it's a fight of heavyweights, right? Like when you watch like those heavyweight championships, boxing, it's always kind of like it's a long fought fight that is always pretty dang even until somebody gets that knockout blow. And I think that's kind of what you're going to expect and see out of this matchup, right? If Mexico is able to get that win, that'd be impressive. I think like everybody should be ecstatic. Again, Mexican media, win, lose, tie, no, doesn't matter what it is, they're gonna give Mexico a bunch of crap. So the U.S., if they're able to win, and they should be super happy. And I think they shouldn't fall in that comfort zone that others may think like, hey, look, we're doing good, we're walking into the World Cup. It still has to get done. Because you don't want to get, you know, there's still plenty of games that you can lose and kind of find yourself in the fourth place or out of it altogether. But dude, I am super excited for this matchup. I think we've been waiting all year for this specific matchup. You know, World Cup qualifiers are so different than CONCACAF Gold Cup and a Nations League. So I am excited to see what they have to do. And again, I like both teams. Match, I'm obviously going to pick Mexico. I want them to win, being Mexican. But it's exciting to see for sure.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. I mean, you know, if we can be top of the group and have a little bit ahead, you know, it makes everybody feel a little bit more comfortable. Going, you know, trying to qualify for the World Cup, which, man, it sounds crazy, but it's literally we're a year from it, and it's going to be in December. Yeah, I'm kind of excited.
Yeah,
kind of just a little bit.
Just kind of, you know. Excited. Well, yeah, I think there still has to be a little bit of nerve in there just because it's not set in stone yet, right? Like, once we have our ticket for whoever nation you rep, you know, once you have your ticket, it's definitely like it's a little easier to breathe knowing that you're going to be in the World Cup, like you said, a year from now, which is crazy because it's going to be a nice Thanksgiving next year for sure, you know, having them playing during Thanksgiving and Christmas. But hey, with that being said, we are crossing soccer borders. Rodrigo, it's what's it called? What's your follow Rodrigo on whatever social media you want to follow him. Just follow him. You know, like I told Christian the last time I recorded with him, I'm like, dude, just Google me, man. Like, you'll find me. There's not many of me. and so, definitely check us out on social media. Look for Crossing Soccer Borders on Instagram and Twitter. Make sure to follow us, Rodrigo Segura, Rudy Segura. I think mine ends with a 3 on my Twitter handle, something like that. Yours is probably like an 01 or 05. Make sure you keep following us, keep listening, subscribe to our show. Definitely do yourself a favor if you're a Houston Dynamo fan. Just calling out on my Houston Dynamo fans. Make sure you check out dynamotheory.com. A ton of great articles that pop up that again, I mentioned a million times, is fans for fans. And we have some great plans coming in the future with them. And hopefully Rodrigo can be a part of it as well. But with that, keep crossing soccer borders.